we start in Parshas itself, and it says the following. First of all, how many parshios are there in the Torah? It's okay if you don't know.
52.
Like, close. Very, very close. No more.
53.
Almost.
54.
Hey. The problem is the Zohar says there are 53. So the problem, that's obviously a problem. What's going on with 53? The Zohar said that. So how does that happen? So it goes like this. Number one, the first answer they always give for the Zohar is that Zos HaBracha is never read on Shabbos. Zos HaBracha is always read on Simchas Torah. So they meant there are 53 parshios in which they're read on Shabbos. Even so, it's not like a Shabbos parsha. It's not divided up. It's barely ever divided up into seven aliyahs. If Simchas Torah falls on a Shabbos, that's what happens. And I think, I forgot how it goes exactly. It can only happen in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, Simchas Torah never falls on a Shabbos because Shemini Atzeres is from Chas Torah. Shemini Atzeres cannot fall on a Shabbos. So regardless, but altogether, what's the deal? If Zos HaBracha can't be read on Shabbos at all, fine, that, I guess I can answer why there's 53 parshios, 53 over here. But there's another answer given. The other answer given is from the Chidah. The Chidah says that Nitzavim and Vayelech count as one parsha. It all counts as one parsha. Now, that's a nice little board that you say over. You know, Nitzavim Vayelech is one thing, it's all one parsha together. But like this year, Nitzavim and Vayelech are separate. So how are they one parsha? It's not one parsha, it's two separate parshios. Otherwise, we wouldn't separate them from one another. The pshat is that Nitzavim and Vayelech are both something within Musar. You ready for this? Nitzavim refers to a regular Jew. A regular Jew is always Nitzavim. He's standing still. Status quo. He's not moving himself around. He's standing. He's able to stand, at least not sitting, at least not falling down. But he's standing. He's staying where he is, and he's not growing at all. Vayelech Moshe. Is Moshe Rabbeinu and Tzadikim and Talmidei Chachamim that really want to work on themselves are always bringing themselves to the next level. So the question is, are you a Nitzavim? Are you a guy who just sits and stands there, whatever it is? Or are you a guy who's going to go further with more Madrigos? Are you a guy who's Vayelech Moshe who's going to go around? That's what a person has to think about when they come into Rosh Hashanah. The idea of Atem Nitzavim Hayom, Kulchem Livnei Hashem Elokeichem, you are standing today, Hayom is referring to Rosh Hashanah. On this day, you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rosheichem, Shivteichem, Zichneichem, Shotreichem, all your people, Kol Yish Yisrael, everybody who's among the Jews are standing there. And the question Hashem is asking you is, are you Nitzavim or are you Vayelech? Which one are you? Which one are you supposed to be?
That's cute.
That's the idea behind it. Know what you are. Know what you're supposed to be. Tell me, this is a hard one as well. This is a hard question. Okay, the 54 parshios. Okay, in theory, somebody could have gotten. Who is known as Nitzavim throughout the entire Torah? Whenever it says the word Nitzim or the word Nitzavim, it refers to two people in the Torah. Who does it refer to?
Yeshua.
No.
Caleb. Aaron.
No, first of all, it's two people. Nitzim u'nitzavim. Whenever it says those words, it refers to two people that are either nitzim or nitzavim, and it doesn't mean it for good. It means it for bad. Saying in a bad way. It happens, I believe, four times in the Chumash. And Rashi points it out twice. The answer is?
Are they like famous
people? Dasan v'aviram. Dasan v'aviram. Whenever there's nitzim or nitzavim, when they're standing or fighting, it always refers to dasan v'aviram, even if the pasuk does not say it directly. It refers to dasan v'aviram. Now, we know about dasan v'aviram. These people are all over the place. They were the guys in Mitzrayim that told Moshe Rabbeinu. They were, you know, Midabre Lashon Hara. They went and they told Paro what was happening at Kriyas Yamsuf. They left the mud over. They went looking for the mona on Shabbos. They did all these things. And finally, they got killed by Adas Korah. Now, let's think for a second. Why are they known as Nitzim and Nitzavim? Because they're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, somebody who stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is someone who feels he doesn't have to bow in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the people and saw that they weren't machnia themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't give themselves over to God. They said, We're able to stand here. We could be there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You won't look at you and everything. But listen, we think we're right also. We think we make our own decisions. Let's look at Dustin Vivian for a second. How did they survive for so long? I mean, if you can think of a mess up, they did it. If there's anything that they screwed up on, that anything the Jews did in the Midbar that was a mess up, they were involved. So how did they survive? What did they do? How in the world did they survive until Korah? They should have been killed 15 times before that. So what happened? Shot is, listen to this. This is said over by a bunch. The Ramban really says it, but it's said over by a bunch of Rishonim. Tosfot and Aviram always thought that what they were doing was Lashem Shemayim. Always. Everything they did. When they left the mud over, they thought it was Lashem Shemayim. When they looked for it on Shabbos, they thought it was Lashem Shemayim. When they said Lashon Hara Moshe Rabbeinu Deparo, they thought it was Lashem Shemayim. When they argued on Moshe Rabbeinu, they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you doing to us here in Mitzrayim? You're giving us harder work. Lashem Shemayim. Everything was Lashem Shemayim. The only time they got killed was by Adas Korach. When it was not only Lashem Shemayim, they were getting Hana as well because they wanted to be leaders. When that happened, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, forget it, you're out. Because if you're doing things L'Shem Shemayim, even if you're wrong, at least you're doing it L'Shem Shemayim. I hear what you're trying to do. But once you go up against me and you try to have a taiva involved, you get your taivas involved and you say, oh, I want to be the leader. I want to be the person in charge of Klal Yisrael. Then you're out. Then I'll throw you out. I'll knock you out of here. So that same thing applies by all different people. We're nitzavim. We feel like we're right. Are we doing it L'Shem Shemayim? Are we doing it because there's a taiva involved? There's something that we want deep down inside. And that's the question in Tzavim. What kind of people are we? Are we need someone standing in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'll be fine this Yom HaDin. I think I'll be okay. I did everything I was supposed to do. I'm going to be fine. Or are we mishtachavim in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu? Are we bowing down in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry for what I did, but the fact is I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean it that way. I meant it this way. Are we explaining ourselves or are we excusing ourselves? That's the real question. That's the real question. It's a scary thought because if we're wrong, we get the same onish they did. And what onish did they get? Swallowed up by the ground, and they stay in Gehenna forever. I'm sure there probably is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu probably thought of a worse punishment, but that's got to be up there. That's got to be up there. Just disappearing from the face of the earth and being swallowed up by the ground in front of everybody, and showing everybody that God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. And they didn't even die. They didn't even have the Malach of Lovis go anywhere near them. Not even a Malach went nowhere near
them. They're still there.
Still there, my friend. They're still waiting. They're still waiting. A lot of stuff going on there. Okay, now because you mentioned Rav Shor Avi before, I'm going to bring down some gematrias. You ready for the gematrias? There's some good stuff over here. Let's go the opposite way. That was like the scary Roshana, like Nitzavim. You're standing that sort of a way. Let's go the opposite way of Nitzavim. Ready? Right after the Tochacha, we just got all those curses. 98 curses altogether. So how do we still survive? How are we still alive? Because they have Zchus Avos. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were able to give it to us. The Sofei Tevis of the Avos, Avram is a Mem, Yitzchak is a Kuf, and Yaakov is a Beis. So Kuf Mem Beis, 142. 142 is the Gematria of Nitzav. That the reason why you're Nitzav, the reason why you're able to stand, is because of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Nitzavim is 192. Gematria of Bakol Mikol Kol. Does anybody understand that? Like when you're sitting there and benching, you say Bakol Mikol Kol, and translated in everything from everything, everything. Does that make any sense to you? Like, that's what we're trying to bless us with. In everything, from everything, everything. Like, what's going on with Bakol Mikol Kol? The pshat is, and it's a great pshat, that the way Bakol Mikol Kol works, the way it's supposed to work, is that the avos are involved. Each one stands for one of the avos. There's Avram, there's Yitzchak, and there's Yaakov. Avram and Yitzchak were not perfect. They weren't kol. Yaakov was kol. Yesh li kol, said Yaakov. He was the absolute perfection, the greatest of everything. He was the perfection. And thus, because of that, it happens to be Atem is the word of Emes, which is the Mida of Yaakov Avinu. Atem, the Emes, led into Nitzavim, which is Bakol Mikol Kol, getting the level of having absolutely everything. In that place, you will be Nitzavim with Nehashem Alekechem. You'll stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shemayim, and you're guaranteed Olam Haba. Guaranteed Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelik Olam Haba. You're guaranteed that if you go there. That's the Pshat B'Yan Zchus Avos and saving us from the Tocha and everything, but there's more to it. If we keep it up and we learn Torah, the MS, then it'll be Atem. We'll have the Atem there, right? What's the Atem? The Atem stands for this. The Aleph is for Anochi. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shotzeisicha, the first part of the Torah that we ever had. The Mem stands for Me'emasai. Me'emasai is the first word in the Mishnayis and Mishnah. And the Tav is Tana. Tana Mehecha Kamaisila. That Tana is the first word in Gemara. The Aleph, Mem, and Tuf of MS stand for the first letters, although it's not Bereshis, the first letters that were given to us in the Torah, first letter in Mishnayis, and first letter in Gemara.
What's the first Gemara?
The first Gemara is Tana, right in Brachos. The Brachos, the very first part of the Gemara, starts off with Tana. And the Me'emasai, the Mem, starts off all Mishnayis. That's the Atem. Atem, Nitzavima Yom Kulcham with Nehashem Alekechem. You want to stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's guaranteed as long as you learn the Torah, then you'll be able to do it. And if you do that, then Atem becomes Al Tashlicheni Milfanecha. Al tashlichani mofanecha. Don't throw me away from in front of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have the emes. I have the atem. Once we're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're standing in front of you. Don't throw me away from in front of you. Keep me in front of you. Keep me in your mind at all times so that I'm not further away from you. So there's no Hester punim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing this world. Okay, that's that. That's supposed to be with that. There are two avtachos that Nitzavim is supposed to be over here. Two promises that God is giving to us. And it's kind of crazy promises. Number one, Bnei Yisrael is going to exist forever. Atem Nitzavim Hayom. You will stand here not only today, but every day. All your people will survive forever. You don't have to worry about anything. You'll be in a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll be here forever. Can you hear that? That's a promise, a swear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a shvua. No, I don't want to say the sect of Judaism. Judaism will not die. Judaism will not die. It can't happen. That's number one, the first promise. Number two, even if you have a bad Olam Hazeh, if you lived in the Holocaust, you were born in the Holocaust, and you died in the Holocaust, and you never saw anything else in this world, you're guaranteed a chelik in Olam Haba. Guaranteed. Kol Yisrael Yishlam chelik in Olam Haba, as we said before. Now, can you screw it up and push yourself away from the Olam Haba and eventually get the Olam Haba much, much later? Yes,
not,
that can happen.
Not in that case, no, you can't. You lived in, throughout the Holocaust, no, you can't.
Well, I didn't want to say something specifically. 100% right. Wait, so but meaning there's a possibility for a person to possibly mess up his chelik in Olam Haba, but it'll still be there in the end. You might need more, whether you want to call it Gilgulim or more Onshim and Gehenim, whatever it is, you might need something before you go to Olam Haba. But Kol Yisrael Yisrael Chelik Olam Haba. Remember, Avraham Avinu stands outside of Gehenim, making sure that no one goes into Gehenim. But Kol Yisrael Yisrael Chelik Olam Haba.
Does that mean this person who's here right now, when they die, they might not get that Chelik Olam Haba?
They will always get the Chelik Olam Haba. It just might take a long time to get it. But you always get it.
That person here right now.
I can't answer that question. We don't know. Because there's other things involved. It could be this is your third time down. It could be your fourth time down. It could be that it's all.
Does that mean that every time the person died, they got a portion of?
I can't tell you, and nobody can tell you, because that's something that's beyond us. But when you die, tell me.
All right.
Tell me, you know, there is the Sefer Chasidim hold. The Sefer Chasidim has down it. It's a tshuva that if you swear with another person that the first person who dies will come back to the person who to the person who's still alive and tell them what Olam Haba is like, you can make such a deal. You have to swear on a Kadosh Baruch Hu on both things, and they can swear to one another, and it'll happen. Says Sefer Chasidim, it's guaranteed to happen. So you can have one person. I have no desire. I don't care. No, I'd rather not. You know, like, I'm perfectly fine. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Anything that happens is all there. But here we go. Ready? That's supposed to be the word of Hayom. You want to hear something crazy? Rabbi Schechter said this 3 years ago, I believe. And, you know, I'm taking it a little bit further than what it is. But Hayom. I tend to be Hayom. And this is going to end in this whole first positive thing. What does it mean we're standing today? What does that mean today? You ready for this? This is a good Chassidish Vort. This is a good Vort. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, when the city of Yerushalayim was being destroyed, he met Vespasian. He was brought out with Rabbi Yeshua. They brought his coffin out. He ran out, whatever it is. He asked for three things. What were those three things that he asked for? Number one, he said, "Tain li Yavne v'chachamel. Give me Yavne. Allow me to have a city where all the chachamim are going to sit. Give me that city. I want to be in Yavne." That's number one. Number two, he said, "Give me the shalshelis of David HaMelech. Give me the ability to have David HaMelech's children to survive, and there'll be the Nasi in Kol Yisrael. There won't be a king, but there'll be the Nasi in Kol Yisrael. Let David HaMelech's children survive." That's number two. Number three, he asked for somebody to heal Rabbi Tzadok. What in the world does that mean? Rabbi Tzadok had been fasting for 40 years. 40 years had been fasting. Yes, he only could eat the juice of prunes. 40 years he fasted for the Beis HaMikdash to not be destroyed. 40 years he fasted. And he was very, very sick. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, "Please let Rabbi Tzadok get somebody who's an expert doctor to be able to heal Rabbi Tzadok. To go heal Rabbi Tzadok." And they did. They got a guy. They fed him a little bit of soup. Then they fed him a little bit meteor soup, and then they fed him meat, and then this, and that, whatever. Finally, Rabbi Tzadok got better. I understand. The first two were major things for Klal Yisrael. That's number one. Number one. I mean, we're talking about the Shalshel said David HaMelech. We're talking about Yavne v'Chachamel. The third thing, what does that have to do with anything? It's a very individualistic thing. We're going up to one guy, and we're saying, well, let's save that guy right over there. What does that have to do with anything? Well, it was so important. Rabbi Tzadok davened 40 years for the Beis HaMikdash not to be destroyed. But it was. It was destroyed. So what happened in the 40 years that he fasted? What happened over there? So listen to this vort. The vort is like this. The pshat is, he fasted for 40 years, and this is, I believe, it's from the Radomsky. From the Ptolemy Radomsky. He says, he fasted for 40 years, that today it shouldn't be destroyed. Today it shouldn't be destroyed. Every single day he got up in the morning and he davened shacharis and he said, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't let the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed today. And then the next day he got up, don't let the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed today. What about tomorrow? Who cares about tomorrow? Who cares? Tomorrow's tomorrow. Deal with today. What's going to be the deal today? For 40 years he was Matzliach until he became too weak. And that's when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Because people weren't davening for that day. People were davening in the future the Beis HaMikdash should never be destroyed. That's too much. Kadosh Baruch Hu can't do that. For 40 years he pushed it off. Pushed it off and kept saying, it's not today, it'll be tomorrow. It's not today, it'll be tomorrow. It's not today, it'll be tomorrow. Kept pushing it off until he became too weak to be there. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai recognized that and said, you need this guy. We need this guy to be around. We need a guy to stay around everybody. Forget about tomorrow. Forget about saying, I want to win a... I need to have $1 million for tomorrow and the next day and the next thing and everything like that. I need to worry about all these things in the future. Worry about today. What's going to be with you now? That's a whole yisod for tshuva. Can you imagine? Tshuva has nothing to do with what's going to be tomorrow. Tshuva has to do with today. Haraya Yom Kippur. You're going to go right back to your old ways when Yom Kippur's over. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows it. You're going to go right back to it, and maybe even worse, because it's Ben Hazmanim. Right after Yom Kippur, right before Sukkot, it's Ben Hazmanim. This year we get a little lucky. It's Thursday night. You know, what can you do on a Friday? And then the Shabbos comes. I guess Chas V'Shalom, we break Shabbos. That's a different story. But Yom Kippur is just, you sit there and you're like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save me. I want to be better. I want to be there better. I want to be better. And then that night, who knows? That's Ayom. You see the Yisod. Today, you want to do tshuva. Forget about tomorrow. Today, can I do it today? The Yetzer Hara is sitting there and saying, oh yeah, well you're going to sin tomorrow. Oh yeah, well this is going to come up tomorrow. What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do the next day? What are you going to do when this happens, when that happens? Don't worry about that. That's the Yetzer Hara. What do I do today? I'm going to be better today. Not, I'll be better tomorrow. I'll go to chakras tomorrow. I'll make sure that I start going to chakras starting Sunday. No. It counts as nothing. I will be better today. That's what you want to do. That's why Va'ato is a lashon of tshuva, not ato as an aleph tafe, as an ayin tafe. Now, the here and the now is the idea of tshuva. That's what you're supposed to do. And if you do that, then it's hayom. Atem nitzavim hayom. When you have that thing of hayom, hayom is ready. Hoser mimenu yagon vanacha. Hoser mimenu yagon vanacha is hey mem yud nun. I think vav. I'm sorry. Hey mem yud vav. It's hayom. That way, you get rid of the sadness. People get so depressed. I'm not going to be able to keep this up. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to keep it up tomorrow. Today, do it. Who cares about tomorrow? Today, wake up for chakras. Today, daven a good davening. Oh, I won't be able to do it tomorrow. So what? It's tomorrow. It's nothing to do with today. That's the idea behind Shuvah. If a person does that, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael, Atem nitzavim hayom, kol kam lefnei Hashem elokeichem. Today, at least, you're with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Will you be there tomorrow? I don't know. Will you be there the next day? Probably not. Will you be there the day after? Probably not. Work on each day individually. Be like Rabbi Tzadok. Then you'll understand what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was doing, trying to save over Rabbi Tzadok. That's the guy who was able to save the Beis HaMikdash. For 40 years it wasn't destroyed. Sanhedrin stopped judging cases, capital punishment, 40 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why? Because they thought the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed on that day. They mamish thought that it was going to be right then. And Rabbi Tzadok davened every single day that it wouldn't be destroyed then. For 40 years, 365 days, you guys can do the math. That's a huge amount. We're talking 3650 times 4. 3650 times 4, that's basically 1400 days. 1400 days that he was able to save the Beis HaMikdash. Because every day he went for it. It's unbelievable. Alright, now, there is something really crazy in this Torah. Okay, there's lots of crazy things. If you count the Pesukim from Bereishis up until here, Shanoh, you're in the 5600s. Altogether, you're in the 5600s in Pesukim. You got into the 5600 Pesukim. Now there is a Chassidish Avort that goes the following. Every word, every Pasuk in the Torah stands for a year. Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Shemayim Es Haaretz is the first year. You know, as the Aratz is so vavova, Choshech al Pnei Som, the Ruach Elokim Rachavs al Pnei Hamayim is the second year, and then so on and so forth. Right? It keeps going all the way through. So it's funny. What year are we in? 57, 69 almost. 57, 69 almost. It's coming up here, it's 57, 69. Listen to this word. It's said over by the Pardes Yosef. Pardes Yosef says, the 5,693rd Pasuk. Is this Pasuk over here? 5,693rd is Chof Tes Yud Ches. You ready? So the Haya Kishamo is Bishamo is Divrei Allah. So when you hear this oath, these bar Baruch Bo Bava Lemo, you'll start saying to yourself, Shalom Yeli, there will be all peace for me. Ki Bishrius Libi Eilech, I'll do whatever I want. Leman Svos HaRavos Atzmeya. So that end up, people end up doing unintentional sins with sinful sins. Okay, that's a big Rashi, whatever it is. The next Pasuk Yutes, Lo Yov Hashem Svoach Lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never forgive you. Because Yeshan Af Hashem Mekino Sobe Yeshu, God will get angry at that person. Rosh Hu Kol, Allah will give you all the curses. Next Pasuk. V'yidilo Hashem L'ra'al Mikosh Yifti Yisrael. Hashem will separate you for evil in front of all the Shvatim of Yisrael. The people will say, getting up after you, and the goyim that are around, they'll say, they'll see the makos of the aretz, and they'll say all the sicknesses. And then nechav beis, gofris v'melach sreifu kol artzah, everything's going to be destroyed. K'mapich ha-sidom v'amora. Chav gimel, v'amru kol goyim, v'amel el sashem kol kol artzah, what are you doing with this land? Machori ha-fagadol zeh. Chav dalet, because they forsook the bris of Hashem elokei avosam. Chav vei, v'yeh chav yevdu elokim acherim, v'yishtach v'lem, elokim ha-shol yidom v'lo chalak lam. V'yecharaf Hashem v'aretz ha-yin chav vav. These are some pretty heavy duty psukim. And then finally, Vayitcham Hashem Yalod Mosom Ba'afal Chemo Ketzel Gedol Vayashel Chemo Eretz Acheret Kemo Zayni. Threw them away. Ready for this? The Eretz does not refer to just land. The Eretz can refer to all Klal Yisrael as a whole, all the people as a whole. 56:93. That pasuk where it says that everything's all good and people think I'll be peaceful, everything will be fine, and everything will happen is when Hitler came into power. 56:93 is 1933. It's the 5,693rd pasuk. Go on from there for the next 10 psukim up until you get to 59:44. I'm sorry, 1944, where the Holocaust ended, and you go on in the Pesukim up until 59, 74 altogether, those are all those Pesukim that we just read. The whole idea of the Holocaust was with Kristallnacht, with everything that happened to the Jews during those years, is referred to by these Pesukim. There are other vorts that are given, how the Gra refers to a certain Pesuk and how other things are given in there, and each Pesuk refers to something, and there's a reason why, because that's the number of the Pesukim that we go into. So I decided it's time to go into our year, right? So what about us? 5769. Lamed Beis Tes Zayin. Now I will tell you, it gets a little scary. Lamed Beis Tes Zayin is in Hazinu. We're already in Hazinu. We're almost at the end of the Torah. Almost at the end of the Torah. You ready for it? Lamed Beis Tes Zayin says the following. Hold on. Yakni'uhu Bizarin. God will make them jealous with strange people. Bisoevos Yachisuhu. Or we made God get angry or get jealous with strange idols. Bisoevos Yachisuhu. We angered God with a lot of abominations. That's the end of the pasuk. That is not the best pasuk. However, I will tell you that as it gets more on, Yizbuchu L'Shedim Lo Aloha, right? They will shech to Shedim that are not the real gods. Sur Yelod Chateshi Vatishkach El Mecholecha. You'll forget God. And then Vayar Hashem Vayinot Mikas Banu Benosav. God will get angry. Vayomer Astir Opanai Mehem Arama Acharisam. I'll hide my face from them. I'll see what's going on. Let's hope to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that these psukim are to be taken in some other way other than literal, because these are some of the scariest psukim that I've ever seen before in my life. And it gets much, much worse, by the way. You'll see them. It gets much, much worse. There is no context in the Shira. The Shira is literally, all it is future. We're going to talk about it in Parshas Hazinu. It is a definition of what's going to happen in the future. It doesn't say anything about what specifically is going to happen or anything like that. It's a very, very scary time. That's what happens over there. Yeah.
I have a question. How many psukim are exactly in the Torah then? Are there 6,000?
No, there are not. There are 50, I believe the Gemara says 5,888. I believe the actual count that we have is 5,845. I think that's the side. And I think the psukim that we count nowadays is in the 5,700s. But I don't remember exactly what it is. Right. I'd have to look it up exactly. I believe it's 5,799, but I don't remember exactly. I'd have to look it up. It could be 5,845.
People say that once we reach that year,
there's nobody that says it.
No?
Nobody says it.
Really? That's really weird.
Nobody says 5,845 itself. However, I have not seen too many things, so it could very well be there's something else. Ready? Haniskaros Lashem Elokeinu Vaniglos One Ul Vaninu Ad Olam. You see those little dots on top of that?
Even the 6,000 mark, it's one Mon D'Omer and a Gemara.
Yeah, well, there's another Mon D'Omer. Yeah, okay, well, we won't argue about this now. Yeah, we spoke about this on what's it called? On Shavuos Night. Okay, either way, Haniskaros Lashem Elokeinu, the hidden things are for God, Vaniglos, and the open things, the revealed things, Lanu Ul Vaninu Ad Olam. They're for us and our children forever. You see this? You see those little dots on top of Lanu Ul Vaninu Ad? There's little dots on top of each of them. They're in the Torah. There's little dots on top of Lanu Ul Vaninu Ad Olam. What in the world does that mean? So the Minchas Yudah, Rav Yudah Pataya, the Talmud of the Bank. Ben Ishchais is the following. When is Kitz Mashiach? When's Mashiach supposed to come? Well, there's two times. We know there's a set time that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to have where Mashiach will come, but that's Nistar. Nobody knows about that time. That's given over to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody can guess it. Nobody knows what it is. But there is another one, and we say it every Friday night. Hayom in Bekolos Ishmo. Today, if we listen to a Kadosh Baruch Hu's voice, Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu. The hidden time is for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, our God. Vaniglos, but the open time, the revealed time, is Lanu Levaneinu. It's up to us, Ad Olam. It's for us to be able to do. Why haven't we gotten it yet? Because of the dots. There are 11 dots altogether, standing for the 11 curses that we were given, the errors that are mentioned in Parshas Kisavo. Rashi says there are 11, even though there's Mamet, there's supposed to be 12. There are 11 curses, according to Rashi. Those 11 errors stand for the 11 things that we've been doing that keep away the Mashiach. It's Lanu Levaneinu. It's up to us. If we do the brachos, then Enachnami, we're going to get everything. And Ayom Bikolos Yishmo, because you got to listen to a Kadosh Baruch Hu's voice. But if you don't, then we're not going to have that. It's going to be Nistros Lashem Elokeinu. We're just going to have that, and there's not going to be any answer. How do we know that people can figure it out? Lanu Levaneinu have the dots. And then there's another dot on top of the ayin in Ad. Why do you put a dot on top of the ayin? Because how long was Golos Bavel? 70 years altogether. 70 years altogether. 70 years for the ayin. For the ayin. Bavel was able to figure it out. They knew. They knew they had to do Shubham. But Ezra got up there and said, it's time to go. It's time to go. Let's go right now. He got up there and Nehemiah came with them and everybody else. I mean, just Ezra and Nehemiah weren't there. Mordechai, Belshan, Chagas, Zechariah, Malachi, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. All those people around. Daniel. They were all around and they said, let's go. Let's bring everybody over there to Israel. And they went and they started to rebuild the base of Mekdash, and that's what Ezra did. We see that it's possible. But it's Lanu Levaneinu. I'm not saying everybody should just get up and run over to Eretz Yisrael. That might not be the answer. But it's Lanu Levaneinu. It's still up to us to be able to do, and that's the ayin. That's the ayin of Golos Bavel, that it shows us what we're supposed to do. All right, tshuva. Ready for this? Lamed Beis. It says, V'shavta ad Hashem l'chacha v'shmata b'kolo. You should return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should listen to His voice. It is a machlokes if tshuva is an actual mitzvah in the Torah. I mean, is there a mitzvah to do tshuva? Because if you think about it, it's a weird mitzvah. If you mess up, then you get tshuva. Now, the famous word is that the luchos abris, is that the luchos originally were supposed to be abris. There were supposed to be 612 mitzvahs. Bris is the gematria of 612. Why 612? Because when the luchos were first given, they had no ability to sin. If you have no ability to sin, you have no ability to do tshuva. You can't do tshuva. So how many mitzvahs were there? 612. And that's why it says, B'nai Yisrael only did the Egel Azov in order to get the mitzvah of tshuva. Which is a hard thing to understand. What in the world does that mean? Here you go. You ready for it? We're going to really understand it right now. What does that mean to be able to do tshuva? You ready for this? This is a crazy Tzanzer Rebbe. Tzanzer Rebbe says this word. This is just unreal. There's a Gemara. Talmud Chacham Sha'asa Avera. If you see a Talmud Chacham that does Avera Balayla, Bayom Al Mahar Acharav. During the daytime, the next day, don't think about it anymore. Don't be Mahar afterward. Don't worry about it. Why? Bevaday Asa Tshuva. He certainly has done it for tshuva. And some gear souls of the Gemara take out those middle words. It just says, Talmud Chacham Sha'asa Avera, Vadei Asa Tshuva. A Talmud Chacham that doesn't Avera, Vadei he did Tshuva. What in the world do those words mean? You ready? Tzanzer Rebbe says, look at Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik went in Lassos Malachto to go do his work. When Ishis Potiphar was sitting in the house, it was a Chag. It was a Chag. Some say it was Christmas. I believe that's Rav Wolfson for that it was Christmas that night. And it was a Chag in Mitzrayim on that night, December 25th. It was known as a day of Tumah, even by the Goyim before the Christian nation came along. They went there and they wanted to celebrate it. All the people in Potiphar's house left, except for Ashes Potiphar, who feigned a headache. Because she knew this would be the one time when she'd be able to get Yosef to herself. She'd have Yosef to herself. It says, Yosef went in Lassos Malachto. Lassos Malachto. And Rashi says, one parish, that he went in to look in the Sifrei Cheshbonos of Shalom. And the Sifrei Cheshbonos, to look in the numbers and the stuff that's going on in the household. Says the Tzanzer Rebbe, you know what that means? He was looking at his cheshbon, and he looked at himself and he said, what mitzvos have I done, and what averos have I not done? And he went through, and he went through all the mitzvos that he's done, and all the averos that he's not done, and the one thing that he didn't do was tshuva. The one thing that he'd never done was tshuva, because he had nothing to do tshuva for. Don't tell me I spoke Lashon Hara, he spoke this or whatever. Don't tell me, obviously, that wasn't an avera. Don't suspect Yosef HaTzadik of speaking Lashon Hara just now, who was a Nevuah. If he was Kovit Shavasi, he would have been Chaya Misa. Don't suspect anything of Yosef HaTzadik. He never blamed his brothers. He had nothing to do tshuva for. Mamish, nothing to do tshuva for. This is an unbelievable word. You ready for this? Says it sounds a rebel. He had to do tshuva. So a Talmud Chacham that needs to do tshuva, what does he do? He does an Aveira in a way to be able to do tshuva immediately afterward. Now hold on a second. He's never, it is a mitzvah of Aveira. If he would get even the tiniest little bit of Anah, and if he would give in to a tiny little bit of Taiva while he's doing the Aveira, then the tshuva wasn't worth doing. It wasn't worth doing. Because that's doing an Aveira because I know I'm going to do tshuva later on. That's like saying I can screw up my entire senior year so I can go to Israel and fix it all up later. That's what it basically is. That tshuva does not work on it. Tshuva does not work on it at all. Tshuva does nothing for such a person. Now hold on. The pshat is that you do something that's wrong without getting any taivos involved. Now this is why it becomes a pure chassidish avort. Because a litvak will tell you it's us or gummer. As you just said, Avi, because you're a pure litvak even though you listen to Rav Shor. As you just said, the pshat is that a chassidish yid will tell you, the pintel yid inside you will tell you, that if you can do an avera without gaining anything or losing anything from that avera, as Yosef realized he would have with Ishus Potiphar, he had no desire for her, he had no hear her about her, there was nothing, he couldn't think of a reason why he would ever go near her, except that he wanted to do tshuva. And he looked in his Sifrei Cheshbonosov and realized, this is the mitzvah to be able to do, I can do this, and I'll be able to do tshuva, and it'll be all fine. To which Yaakov had to come to him and say, don't do it. Don't do it. This is too much. There will be other things that you can do tshuva for. There's other things that you can do tshuva for. Don't do it now. It's not worth the amount. And Yaakov had to come to him. It's not just Tom. We don't have that. We're all of a sudden, we're about to do an Avera, and like our father comes to us in a head and says, like, hey, guys, that's not a good idea. This has to have been a sin that was, it was so far away from an Avera that Yaakov Avinu realized what he was thinking. Yaakov Avinu saw the shot behind it, saw the thought process, and said, I agree with you, Yosef. Don't do it anyway. Or Yaakov Avinu had to paskin for him. You can't do this. You can't do this. Even though Yosef HaTzadik himself was a gadol hador who was able to paskin for himself that he could do it, Yaakov Avinu said, no. It's absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. It's not just Stam. He had a hero, he had an Avera, he wanted to go ahead, he was together with it. Come on. Come on, aside from the Chassam Sofer, you know the Chassam Sofer. She was Jewish, she already became a Gioras, she had converted, and Potiphar already gave his permission. There's a Chassam Sofer that says everything. It says straight out that she was Jewish already. Potiphar said, it's mutter. Potiphar was a Swiss anyway, so by that automatically means a divorce from the Goy. She wasn't even married to Potiphar. And they saw in the astrologers that she was supposed to marry Yosef, and says the Chassam Sofer, that's not a lie, she was supposed to marry Yosef. Aside from all that we'll talk on Parshas Vayishev as well. Aside from all that, still Yosef couldn't do it. Heterin beyond heterin. It's not a heter, it was mutter. It was mutter gummer. It was lechachila would have been mutter.
Why would he have had to do tshuva?
Yaakov knew that it was still against the Torah. And therefore he would do tshuva for it because it was technically eshesish. In the eyes of other people, it was eshesish and there would be something to do tshuva for. This is a chassidish thing. You ready for this? It says like this. What was it? That's right. If you do tshuva on this type of a sin, if you do tshuva on that, then all of a sudden, the tshuva not only erases that sin. You know what happens? When you're a varim, go up to Shemayim, this is how it's said by the parties, Yossi. Ready? When you're a varim, your limbs go up to Shemayim, instead of being made that you sinned, your limbs go up to Shemayim and says, he was learning at that moment. When the accusing angels come by and said, I remember when you went ahead and you did this. If you do tshuva on it, your limbs come up and say, we swear that he was learning Torah at that moment, he wasn't sinning. Even though in reality, you really sinned. When you do tshuva, it turns your avarim around to where your avarim are made that you only did good things. That's a pella. That's a pella atzum. It doesn't get much better than that. But it's not, it's unbelievable tshuva me'ava. That's not our level. That's not our level to be able to go. And I'm going to end off with one little vort over here. This is an awesome vort. There is in the Hakdama de Igros Moshe. So when you become Mashkiach, I think you got to do Hakdamas to every Sefer, because they always quote Hakdamas from everywhere. So I decided I'm going through the Hakdama of the Igros Moshe. I've done it before, but I forgot about it completely. And I just did it this week with one of the guys in the yeshiva, Sim Wogelner, and we went through this Hakdama of the Igros Moshe. absolutely unbelievable and so shayach to this week's parsha. Lo b'shamayim. At the very end of the parsha, lo b'shamayim. The Torah is not in Shemayim. It's not in Shemayim. It's lamed yud beis. Lo b'shamayim. Lemor mi alalano shamayim v'kachal lo miyashmenu osav nasena. It's not in the sky for you to say who's going to go up to Shemayim and grab it and tell it to us and everything. You got to hear this word. Ramosha brings down a Gemara Menachos. The Gemara Menachos, I believe, is on Chav Tesimah Beis. Moshe Rabbeinu sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu making crowns for the Torah letters. Making crowns for them. You know how, like, there's certain letters, the Shatnas Gaze, all those letters, that gates, I'm sorry, that have, like, the little things and everything. The famous one, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, but look at the wording over here. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi ma'akev al yodcho. Now, Rashi translates that as who cares about these tagim? Who cares about these tagim? Why do we need these tagim? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there will be a person coming about. His name is Rabbi Akiva, and he'll darshan all the tagim, tilin shalalachis. He's going to darshan thousands of things based on the little crowns on top of the letters. And that's why I need these crowns on top of the letters. Listen how Ramosha translates this line. Unbelievable. He says, it's not mima akev al yadcha. It's not mima akev al yadcha. Mima akev al yadcha doesn't mean that literally. You know what mima akev al yadcha means? Who's holding you back? Who's holding you back? What Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you write the Torah this way, as you have it right now, it's going to be machlokas. People are going to argue. People are going to have massive arguments. There's going to be mikotza at a kotza. You're going to from one end to the other. One person is going to say this is mutter. One person is going to say this is usser. One person is going to say this is tahor. One person is going to say this is tameh. They're going to be totally opposite of one another. And this mamash is going to be machloikisim in Klal Yisrael. People are going to scream at one another. They're going to yell at one another. They're going to say you're wrong. They're going to say you're dead wrong because my Rebbe says the following. Or because I hold the following. This is what the Torah says. The other person will say, no, you're dead wrong because the Torah says this. Who's holding you back from writing the entire thing out? I know why you're writing those tagin, so people can darshan and come up with all the halakhas that they don't have in the Torah directly. Just write the whole Torah. Write the whole thing. Put the whole thing out. Write everything. What do you have to just put these tagin on top of it? Why are you putting the crowns on top of the Torah? Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You don't get it, Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo b'shamayim. The Torah is not my Torah. It's not my Torah that I paskin and I give down to Klal Yisrael. If it was that Torah, then nobody would be able to make any chidushim. Because any chidushim is against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted.
Yeah,
you wouldn't be able to go. The Torah is there for you to darshan. It's for you to figure out. For you to be able to go ahead and come up with the halacha. Even if it's against me. To hear this. Even if it's against me. The Gemara Bamitziah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is arguing with the Malachi Asharis. I believe it's on Pei Zayin. And the Malachi Asharis say it's Tahor. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's Tameh. They said, where? Who should we ask? I believe it's the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it was Tahor. Certain type of Saras. And the Malachim said it's Tameh. And they said, let's go ask Rabba. And Rabba said, Tahor, Tahor. And we don't paskin like Rabba. Even though Rabba paskin like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the day, we paskin Tomei. We paskin the Rambam paskin like the Malachim. Because the Pshat is, the Torah is not in Shemayim. The Torah is not for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to decide. The Torah is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Bevadai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah so that what we decide is the halacha. Now there are rules behind that. Not just anybody can make a halacha. You got to have certain people who have certain prerequisites in order to make those halachas. But once you have those prerequisites, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you paskin. You're going to be the one who makes the psak halacha. You'll be the one to do it. That's why the crowns are on the letters. I need crowns to say that the letters are the king. Not me. I'm not the king when it comes to Torah, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The letters are the king. What you darshan, what you come out with is all Torah. It's all MS. And even though they're against one another, they're both MS and they're both Torah as long as it was made in a way that has the prerequisites that I require. Stam, a conservative yid cannot make a halacha. That guy does not have the ability, doesn't have the prereqs to be able to make such a halacha. He doesn't know how to make such a halacha. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein about himself. That's how I know. Even if I'm wrong in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm still saying the MS because I'm darshaning from the Torah. And I know that my Svara is coming from the Torah because I've never read any other books. I've never seen any other movies. I've never seen any TV shows. Says Rav Moshe, I know that my thoughts are pure Torah. And if my thoughts are pure Torah and that's what's coming out of here, even if I'm wrong, it's MS and it's Torah. That's what he says, and that's Lo b'shamayim because it's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu's. People have it for themselves. That is an awesome vort. That is a very, very awesome vort. All right, guys, we'll stop with that. Have a good